Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
We're cleaning out the last little bits of our root cellar today. What has held up over these cold months? Well, yams and potatoes. Four recipes today to inspire you to do something a little different with these guys. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
If you're a fan of Skippy peanut butter, you may want to check out those product labels before indulging. Salmonella contamination is being reported for Skippy reduced fat, creamy, and super chunk peanut butter spread distributed across the Midwest. Peanut butter was public enemy number one in 2009 when salmonella outbreaks sickened thousands of people all over the country. This month, a group of 79 researchers completed the genome for the woodland strawberry, which is now added to a small list of food plants that have had their genetic sequence charted. Scientists hope that by studying the strawberry's genome, they can breed plants to be more resistant to disease and bruising and will also have a faster growing time. However, some worry that genome sequencing will also pave the way for introducing genetically modified strawberries similar to GM corn or salmon. This concern is why the strawberry industry donated very little to the project. And when SunChips introduced their biodegradable bags in late 2010, they were surprised to be met with resistance when consumers complained that the bags were too noisy. As a result, PepsiCo pulled the compostable bags from 5 of the 6 SunChip flavors less than a year after they were introduced into the market. SunChips announced this week that they're bringing the bags back, and this time the product will make both environmentalists and those annoyed by the bag's distinctive crinkle happy. The new bags are still compostable, but PepsiCo is using a different adhesive that takes the noise of opening the bag down 15 decibels. This equates to reducing the noise of a busy street down to that of an average radio. If you want more news like this, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
The ground hasn't thawed enough just yet to allow for planting, and we're a long way away from visiting a summer farmer's market. But this is the time of year when folks start thinking about buying a share in a CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture.
People who are really dedicated to supporting small local farms sometimes join CSAs, and they pay us in the spring when we need money for seeds and fertilizer and labor before we get to start harvesting and selling our food, and we provide a weekly delivery of food, so that's their share. They get our first pick, so we're not selling green beans because they got all the green beans. We also have watermelons in some of the shares, green peppers, garlic, basil. You know, not everybody gets everything. We kind of switch it up because we don't have enough for all of our members.
I spoke with Bobby Boos of Life Certified Organic Farms back in August 2010, back during the height of harvesting season. That's a family-owned farm covering 14 acres in both Morgan and Monroe counties in Indiana. Since they don't always get a chance to talk to their customers in person, she says the certified organic label assures the customers that the farm runs without any synthetic herbicides or pesticides.
For us, that also means we do a lot of work, and so do many organic farms, to improve our soils and our perimeters. We encourage beneficial insects instead of, you know, even there are organic pesticides. But that still kills all the bugs, whereas we work really hard to grow flowers and plants that bring in the beneficials and get the right balance in our farm, in our fields. You know, work at improving the soil. The more nutrition we put in our soil, the more we get in our food.
Read more about Life Certified Organic Farm and CSA programs on our website, eartheats.org.
We're going to talk yams today, and what usually people think of is yams, or Thanksgiving yams, and those sweet potatoes, basically. But the true yam comes from Africa, and it's a much larger root with a white flesh and kind of a barky exterior. they are a powerhouse of nutrients, and they're one of the greatest things you can eat. Also, they have a lower glycemic index than, let's say, a regular potato, which is starchy, and the starch turns automatically to sugar. And this gives you a much longer-lasting power punch that you can get going all day. I love to eat these even for breakfast. You know, you could take it some different directions. You could, you know, kind of go southwest with it and put a little salsa on top of it. You know, serve that with a salad, and you've got a great meal. So, you know, I usually give these over to one of my chefs. It's Chef Mike, and he's one of the hardest working guys in the business. We don't use them all that often, but for at home, it's great because it's so quick. So here's Chef Mike. He's very reliable, and you don't have to pay any health care for him. 5 minutes on there. This is a nice high-powered one. With the home microwave, it may take 7 minutes. And what will come out is a nice, soft sweet potato that you can use right away. Or you could bake them traditionally in an oven. And what's good about baking them in an oven is they do get a little crunchy on the outside, and that adds another texture. And you do want to eat the skin, all right, because the skin has a lot of good fiber in it, very, very healthy. And you can kind of smell, when you roast them, I mean, it does pick up a different aroma than you would get in a microwave. So what we're going to do is, this is nicely cooked, nice and crunchy, just kind of open it up. Then what I like to do is season it, just a little salt and pepper. Okay, you could use a little fresh garlic, you could use some garlic powder, lemon zest, whatever you like you could throw in there. Then I'm going to put a little goat cheese. This goat cheese is from Capriole Farms. Put some toasted walnuts on. And finally, I'm going to drizzle it just with a little bit of olive oil. Now, you could use any kind of nuts. You could use some toasted pumpkin seeds. You could use pine nuts, anything you want. You could throw a little rosemary in there. But basically, that makes a wonderful dish, very, very quick. And there's no reason why you can't get that your day's nutrients when cooking is this simple.
And if you're a goat cheese lover like me, this is an awesome addition to your goat cheese recipe repertoire. Definitely delicious. Let us know how you like to serve your yams, or your goat cheese for that matter. Send us your recipes and your comments to eartheats@gmail.com. Yams are only distantly related to potatoes, but hey, they sort of look alike. So, three recipes using Yukon Golds.
The Yukon Gold has become kind of a darling of chefs and home cooks alike. And you can get them all different sizes. I've chosen some small ones today. But then there are also the purple Peruvians, the Redskins, the Creamers, all these different kinds of potatoes. One of the easiest ways to cook a Yukon Gold is to boil it till it's soft. And then what I like to do is just smash it down. And then you saute them or deep fry them. And then you can toss them with some seasoning. You could also roast them now with some rosemary and garlic, but they're really good deep fried.
While those are cooking, we'll make two additional dishes with the Yukon Golds, inspired by two European countries. Bubble and Squeak is an English dish, and then Strumpf, which is a dish from Brussels.
For the Strumpf, we've got some boiled carrots. We'll put a little bit of the liquid in there. Stir these up and mash them. Okay, and for the Bubble and Squeak, you would normally just add cabbage, but we're going to use some Brussels sprouts. And then we're going to stir it with a little bit of, you could use bacon fat, you could use butter, you could use olive oil, and it will actually squeak and bubble in the pan. That's why they call it Bubble and Squeak. All right, so for the Brussels sprouts, I just slice them and then steam them off quickly. You could blanch them in boiling water and then shock them with cold water so they keep that really nice color. And then this would be great served with meatloaf, with a roast chicken, with pot roast. It's a perfect accompaniment for that. So our butter's nice and hot. We add the potatoes. You can hear it kind of sizzling. And then when that cabbage starts to really heat up, it'll give a little squeak. Back to the Strumpf. Basically, you just mash these up. We're going to add a little bit of butter. And that's as simple as that. You could add some scallions if you wanted to. And that would be a lot of times served with the national dish of Belgium, like a waterzooi.
The Strumpf is a cold dish, so that one's done. And waterzooi, if you're wondering, is a stew with lots of veggies and either fish or chicken. Our pan is sizzling and popping, so back to the Bubble and Squeak.
All right, so what you're getting is you're starting to get a little bit of brown. Give it a little taste. I love this stuff. And there's nothing more late wintry than that.
Check out photos of these dishes and print off the recipes on our website, eartheats.org. If you want to add your kitchen creations to our Flickr page, scroll down to the bottom right of the homepage and click Add Your Photos.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.